Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
For the best new local dining in downtown Corinth, visit Valtum Fillmore inside the Old Smith Restaurant Building. Salads, burgers, and lobster rolls to steaks and signature cocktails, the Vault serves unforgettable flavors daily, 11 to 9. Reservations recommended. Book online at vaultonfillmore.com.
I'm Steve Azar, and I'm on the other side of the microphone, meaning I'm asking the questions this time, and oh, have mercy for the airwaves. I spent 20 years in Music City, wrote and made some hits, traveled the world, and then moved my family back to the birthplace of American music and where the magnolia trees prosper. And now every time I put my feet on Mississippi soil, when I'm off the road, well, I'm at peace. On this show, it's all about hearing the story straight from the mouths of the friends I've made along the way, their journey to success. Heck, there might be someone on, I don't even know, but you know how us Mississippi types are. We tend to take well to new company. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. I'm Steve Azar.
It's just like that muddy river, moving slow. In no words, it's how life goes, baby. In a Mississippi Minute. That's right.
Hey, folks, time for another In a Mississippi Minute. Always grateful. I'm Steve Azar. My folks over there in Macon, Mississippi, I'm grateful for them for sponsoring my show. I love them over there. They're wonderful people. And why would you get catfish produced anywhere but Mississippi? Go to superiorcatfish.com and visit mississippi.org. Man, you know how I feel. I believe in our state. I believe in you all, your hospitality, your love for our home turf. It's special. We're the birthplace of America's music. Go to visit Mississippi.org. All right, part two. It's kind of like part B. I don't know. He's been on so many times, but yesterday, I hope you got to listen to the show. If not, you can go check it out in podcast form or supertalk.com to catch up. But this is part two with a dear friend of mine. I love him dearly and everything that he's accomplished and his. How vulnerable he's been when things weren't going so well. He wasn't catching those touchdowns for Washington Huskies or the New Orleans Saints or the Oakland Raiders. And he went through a tough patch, and that led to him going from a Hall of Fame member, eventually inducted into the Washington Huskies Hall of Fame, and then playing, climbing all seven summits. I mean, how do you do that? And what does it take to get there? NFL Films had his documentary on Searching for the Summit, which chronicled that courageous journey. And I tell you what, it won an Emmy. It was up for an Emmy and won an Emmy. He's a staple at our Delta Soul charity event every year. He makes a huge contribution with him being here. Him and Darcy, we appreciate them so much for taking the time. It makes a huge difference, I promise you. Finding Your Summit will be his book that will be coming out. I think it's out in June, but we'll double check that in a little while. And it's going to give you the whole skinny of his life. Without further ado, my dear pal, Mark Pattison.
You just keep going, buddy. And then we'll, at the very end, about 40 minutes, would you just, you know, at the end, you go, and that's a wrap. And I'll go, sweet, you know, love you on.
That was 3 minutes and 28 seconds, but there was about 30 seconds of mistakes, which I will edit out. How you like that? How you like that? Because I'm tongue-tied right now. Anyway, yeah. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. You know, got up this morning the way you always should and charged up the mountain, climbed 2,000 feet, and pitch black. I was the only guy out there. I was looking for a wingman, didn't get one. But, you know, put you on the right side of the bed, getting up and getting after the day.
All right, wait a minute. Let's talk about a wingman out there. So they just are out there hanging out, and you got people that you've gotten to know over the years, or you get to new friends. How can you trust them?
I always climb by myself, with the exception that there's nobody out there. So, okay, you know, you want, you know, it's like 10 degrees. It's pitch black. Who wants to go out there and start climbing up a mountain? You know, oh, dark 30. I'll tell you what, though. You've got some ties here, too. My best friend, Jim Mora, who's the head coach at UConn, has been the head coach for the Atlanta Falcons, the Seattle Seahawks, UCLA Bruins, and other teams. He's a part-time resident. When he gets away from UConn, he flies back out here from the East Coast to the great state of Idaho in Sun Valley, and he'll go up there with me. So he is my wingman, but it's sporadic.
Can he handle it?
He's great. Yeah, no problem. He's the only guy. There's one other guy, but more or less, Jim is the only guy that can hang.
So if you got to be very good on your skis, right? When you go do this thing, and then obviously you're climbing, how far? What are you doing?
Well, you know, you're going multiple miles and you're climbing 2,000-3,000 feet and it's straight up. And so you got to have the cardio to, I mean, think about the Stairmaster in a gym. And this is the ultimate Stairmaster, right? And it's pitch black and it's freezing. So you got to like mentally get tough to do that, right? That's number one. And then once you get up there, you rip off these, it's actually made of horsehair, but you rip off these skins. And it's this artificial layer that goes on the bottom of your skis so you can climb up a mountain without slipping back. And then you rip these things off and you kind of change out. And then, down the mountain you go. And
you're on skis the whole time?
Yeah. Never
I
come
just,
up.
I don't understand this. I just got to tell you, what we learned down here is a little thing called gravity. Yeah. And so I can tell you where gravity would take me. There's no way, man. I'm just so bad on skis. I was bad on skateboards. I was just basically okay on skates because I just wanted to meet girls when you're in seventh and eighth grade. But the bottom line is when you put something under my feet, things go a little sideways. And I've always trusted my feet athletically and stuff, and I believe in them. But when you put things with any wheels on it or anything underneath them, it's awful. Yeah. Or skis, it's just awful.
It only take you a couple of times, you know, and you've always been a great athlete and you've got great cardio. I know that. So it's just like anything. You don't go to 0 to 100. I didn't go from Little League to the NFL in one jump. And like most of these things, you just go and you do the best you can. You learn and come back and do it again.
Can I have a glory day moment real quick?
Yeah.
In 1 year during my days in Nashville, when the arena football team was there and the Titans were there, we would play a celebrity football game with some of the Titans, some of the arena football players, and we do that. And McGraw was the quarterback on the other team in the second half. I forgot, somebody sent me this the other day. He said, do you know that you were the MVP in the football game and the basketball game in 1 year? And I said, just send them to me. Let me see so I can show them to Gwen, and she can start singing Glory Days out of key. But anyway, but I had four picks. Three of them for pick sixes in the second half. I believe I did. I think three of them, or maybe two. I can't remember. I can't remember what it said. Against McGraw, he was totally telegraphing, and I was guarding Sanders, who played for the Titans, but it didn't matter because I was playing safety, and the ball wasn't getting to him. It was getting to me every time, and I was going like, is he really throwing it? Where he's right there. He's throwing it right where he's going to look. You know, and I told McGraw, I said, man, I love you being quarterback. And then he was giving me grief. And then against Vince Gill, I hit 7 threes on him with Coach Bird and them at Belmont, packed house, and calling his name. He kept calling me Fabio, and he kept saying I had pretty lips, and I wasn't happy about that. And Mark Miller from Sawyer Brown, a great point guard, and I just got hot. And I got the MVP then. The next year, Vince had me on his team. They told me I went 0 for 11, but like any shooter, I don't remember. And I said, what are you talking about? I don't remember missing at all. But I know I struggled because Gwen came to that game and she said, you never made a shot. And I said, hey, I just don't want to hear it because it'll hurt me. Anyway, so I just wanted to throw that before I get started.
I got to say something. You know, like, I think a lot of what we're talking about, I assume you're talking about Tim McGraw. And, you know, he's got one of the greatest lyrics that have really inspired me in a lot of ways. And I get this a lot, you know, being at my ripe old age, you know, like, why do you do it? Why do you keep going? You're putting yourself in danger and so on and so forth. And Tim McGraw's got this song, Living Like You're Dying, right? And so think about that. You know, if you had 3 months to go, what would you do? How would you change your life, right? And I've just, other than think about, I'm dying 3 months, I'm just like, I'm just going to start doing that, you know. I was already doing that. And then I got to say about Vince Gill, what a voice. And I was in Las Vegas at the Sphere and saw him play alongside the Eagles, and he did a heck of a job.
Well, he's a competitor on the field and a really, really good golfer, unless he gets mad and then you got him. But he doesn't get mad a lot because he doesn't have to, because he's a really, really good athlete. I feel like that attributed to his hanging in there as well, because he was down to one single. The producer wasn't calling him. The label wasn't calling him. Nobody was calling him. You pick it. And he picked Go Rest High on the Mountain. And they said, well, that won't work because it's a ballad. And that broke his career. And next thing you know, he's got Little Liza Jane, da 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 da. But it was over for him. And he chose that song. He believed in it. It was an honest thing. That was who he was. And the rest is history. there you go. I mean, just almost the near misses. And a lot of time the near misses are the ones that create greatness, right?
Well, that's out of depths can, you know, come peaks, you know, and that's I've certainly experienced a lot of those. I'll tell you one song that will bring you to tears with Vince Gill and Carrie Underwood, How Great Thou Art. And there was some award show and they played that. And Carrie was insane, and Vince did the play the guitar, and then also did harmony, and those two were just magic.
Yeah, I mean, those two are the greatest, arguably the best voices in Music City in a long time. You put Stapleton in there, and yeah. I mean, it's crazy how great. Faith Hill's a great singer. Anyway, Mark Pattison's my man. Visit Mississippi.org, plan a road trip, be proud of your Mississippi, and Superior Catfish, homegrown producer right here. Where else would you want to get it from Mississippi? Great folks over there in Macon, Mississippi. I can testify. We'll be right back with Mark Pattison and Steve Azar.
Tired of the same old morning routine? Tune in to Mornings with Richard Cross. Your connection to everything Mississippi. Local news that matters to you, from the coast to Jackson to the Delta and everywhere in between. Get the inside scoop on state politics. Plus, catch all the news, weather, and sports you need to get going. Listen every morning. If it's happening in Mississippi, you'll hear about it on Super Talk Mississippi. Stay informed and stay connected with the SuperTalk Mississippi app. The SuperTalk app brings you the latest news and connects you to your favorite shows. Download the SuperTalk Mississippi app today and stay ahead of the curve. Mississippi.
Dark Mark Pattison, my guest today on the Mississippi Minute, Superior Catfish, right there with me on my plate. All right, listen, we gotta keep moving here, and we hadn't even started. I want to talk about your book first. We're talking Finding Your Summit, right?
No,
I'm wrong or right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right, and that is coming out. So I want to do a little. This is what I saw from your book, the last chapter. Ultimately, success is a journey, not a destination, and takes a tremendous amount of discipline. It's a series of summits. I love that. Each one leading to the next. And the only way to keep climbing is to embrace the mindset of continuous growth. Okay, there's more. But just tell me, you know, from your perspective, I mean, that says a lot about you, but it says a lot about how we all should try to be.
You know, it does. And I think I'm telling you, and I may have said this last time that we chatted, which I am a very ordinary guy that's done extraordinary things, and only because I put myself in those positions, right?
Right.
And really, when you start talking about, and everybody's got their different definition, you don't have to get up like as early as some people need more sleep than I do, which is fine. But, you know, I think the main difference between myself and most is I've led this long life, long trajectory, life of discipline. And I stay, and that means there's a whole lot of sacrifices. When I come down to your event, you know, I purposely leave at a certain time. I only drink so much because I know I have to get up the next morning. And even though we're going and doing all these fun things, once the gate is going, first thing in the morning, I'm out doing my thing, right? And what I've led is not only has that conditioned me in the right way, but also put my mind in the right framework to go out and not only problem solve, because I go out there, I'm always thinking about something and something creative will come to me because it's just me. I'm just out there and I'm just listening. I'm just, you know, doing my thing for an hour and a half. And you know, it's just, I think I've been able to problem solve and work through so many different things. And at the same time, it's mentally getting me stronger. There was I'll make this really quick. There was about 5 years ago, I was asked to go and co-guide on Mount Rainier, 14,410 feet up in the great state of Washington. And so the guy that they stuck me with was some guy that had read all these books about motivation and everything else and hadn't spent 1 second working out on anything. And so off we go. And he was on his knees halfway up at about 12,000 feet. And, you know, it was awful experience for me. And I was literally pulling him up the mountain, trying to get him finally. And then he dropped to his knees and he was throwing up and everything else. And, you know, he thought that by reading a book, he could get mentally strong. You need to physically put yourself through things you don't think you can get there, right? To then build that mental strength, to then be able to take on these different things.
All right, let's back up for a second. No, there's no doubt, by the way, there. You got to be putting the work in. I mean, you just can't read a book and then everything works out. You got to put the work in. So when you use the word mental, let's get back to when you weren't mentally as strong, which you have documented and you've talked about it ever since you came out of that place. Were you working out then? Like, no. I mean, you've never stopped working out. So even the physical workout and everything, were you feeling like you were working out with nothing in sight?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. You know, I think that even though I was continuing to do that, you know, you're human, right? And we all go through the human emotions of when things go right, they're great. And when things don't go so right, or when somebody bugs you, or somebody said something bad about you or something, you know, you're human and you have those emotions and you still process those things. And then it's just taking that period of time to really figure out what's your path forward. And that's where I would say, you know, when I was going through this marital thing, there was 2 years of just, you know, being lost because on one hand, I didn't want to break up a family. And the other hand, it was just like I was in a situation where I wasn't wanted and being pushed out the door. And so, like, how do you resolve that? And it wasn't until really I was out again walking at the time my chocolate lab and this thing came to me. And it was just like, you need to go do something just, you know, we call it a BHAG. It's in the book, a big, hairy, audacious goal. And the guy that actually turned me on to that whole concept, was a guy that started Expedia and Zillow. And I was talking to him on my podcast. I was like, how do you come up with these crazy ideas? And he goes, you know, I challenge people, my employees, to come up with big, hairy, audacious goals, BHAGs. And so within that BHAG, you know, for me, it was just like, I'm going to try to become the first NFL player to ever climb the 7 summits, which are the 7 highest peaks on each continent. And since I've gone on and climbed many, many more than that in very iconic ones like the Matterhorn, but, you know, that's what then gave me my purpose and my drive. And then that led to all these other things, the charitable giving and setting things up for my daughter and helping out with epilepsy with her and, you know, all these other, the film, all these things, they had a tie once I like could tap back into what is that one thing I need to go do and clear my mind, get my mind right. Even though I was struggling through, I never gave up on the workout part.
And, you know, it's interesting. You've always working out with a point because I had to be in shape for football and sports. World-class athlete. I have to be in shape for college and the NFL. Big, big, big difference from just us hanging out and working out a little bit and then going to work and a regular job. So let's move on to the next stage. When there you are and things are in disarray, you're not playing football anymore. You're working out, but you're working out in a time when you really didn't have the purpose because you had so much wrong going on in your life for you, right? And your daughter and what was supposed to be the love of your life. So I get that. But when was it, how long after all of that got past you, did you become the Mark Pattison of today?
I think I evolved into that. And I think that's like anything, you know, I remember, I'm going to spin this back on you, but you know, when I was playing for the Saints way back when, and I'd come up to LSU and you're playing these different frats and you're out there playing rock and roll and you're playing covers of everybody else. And it was great and you were good. And, but you know, you hadn't hit your moment. You hadn't hit your stride yet. It just took you, you know, I don't know how long, but to evolve into understanding you got to start writing your own music and you got to create your own style if you want to have your own career versus, you know, do a career of covers.
Let me just rebut that a little bit. I was playing half originals then at 4 hours, and half covers. But the point was the originals I was playing was it, they were the sound of the players in my band, not the sound of what I would eventually become when it became honest. So we were just playing, right? And we were just going through the motions. People loved it. And I learned to entertain and I learned what sure not to do and what sure not how and what not to sound like. It just took me a long time. And so trust me, when I was in the corner between sets, when you played these 4 hour sets and you had 15 minutes between sets, I sit in the corner and I would think about where I needed to be. and everybody else was partying. And I was like, this was not where my happy point. I was grateful for the stage to get better. But trust me, at no point was that my end goal. And I had those goals. And I really felt like I was so stubborn with it that you think about it, you saw me at 21 or 22, and then it would be 15 years. If you'd have told me, Steve, you're going to have your first hit in 15 years, I'd have said, are you kidding me? I won't last that long. But not knowing kept me in the game. Let's take a quick break. We're with Mark Pattison. We hadn't even talked about the other seven steps that we were trying to do the other day. We're going to get into that, but I still have to know about when the book's coming out, which will be Finding Your Summit. Mark Pattison's my man. Visit Mississippi.org. Plan a road trip. Be proud of your Mississippi and Superior Catfish, homegrown, produced right here. Where else would you want to get it from Mississippi? Great folks over there in Macon, Mississippi. I can testify. We'll be right back with Mark Pattison. I'll see you guys on.
Cause like the dawn, you push it all the way.
$20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Home Buyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
Military Matters.
On the modern battlefield, the attack doesn't always come from the ground. It can strike from above in seconds. Troops from all military branches are training here at Fort Sill for those moments. And Colonel Mosif Sayuda is the director, helping soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen use real-life scenarios and advanced weapons to take down enemy drones.
We can train, utilizing simulations across different systems and platforms that simulates the same training you would get in a combat training center as well as in a deployment. So you have to learn how to visually identify these aircraft, but you're dealing with very saturated environments.
But in a way the U.S. Army says saves taxpayers millions, and using 3D printed versions of the tech to bring down cost.
This is not a problem to take lightly. There's been a lot of investments from personnel to money, you name it, to ensure that we are getting after this.
With Military Matters, Sarah Allegre, Fox News.
News happens fast.
There's a lot to take in
and a lot to hear
from all across the Magnolia State.
And the foremost spot for Mississippi news is supertalk.fm.
Your Mississippi news
on air and online.
supertalk.fm.
Wake up with Richard. Mornings with Richard Cross. Start your day with news, weather, sports, and the talk that'll keep you talking all day long. Mornings with Richard Cross on Super Talk Mississippi. Also on the Super Talk app. In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Flying down that levee road. Trying to see how fast you go.
Okay, we're in this third segment of Mississippi Minute. I promise you I'm getting down to the nitty-gritty because Mark and I just, we vanish when it comes to, we're friends, and you get to hear that. Superior Catfish, they're pals of mine as well. Go to superiorcatfish.com. There's catfish. There's Superior Catfish. The math always adds up the same. And visit Mississippi.org. Hey, man, I'm the most grateful guy in the world having your state song on One Mississippi. And every day I get something, and it's a kid reading the children's book or singing the songs or shout out to Starkville Singers. They went to the Capitol with the session going and did this most beautiful hymn of One Mississippi. And I'm getting them to come to Delta State and record that because I was so moved. It was a version that I thought I'd never hear, and it's better than my version. So grateful for them, loving it so much. Shout out to Jennifer there who runs that program over there at Starkville High. Okay, Mark Pattison is my guest today. Mark, when does the book come out, Finding Your Summit?
June 2025.
Oh, so this Delta Soul, we're putting on a party for you because of that down here in Greenville.
You know what? It's going to be a book launch. It is a book launch, right?
Yeah,
you know,
man. Are you kidding me?
Well, we're going to do a book launch at Doe's. You know what I'm saying?
And the Blues Bar and the Big Night and on the golf course and Catfish. We're going to do a complete dedication for your book.
Yeah, right.
I love that. So that what day exactly do you have that target?
I don't know. We're still working on that. We're going through the final drafts right now and making sure, you know, all the chapters are right and book covers. And, you know, you've written a book. It looked really cool, by the way.
Beautiful. Your cover looks awesome.
It's a creative process, and so all the bulk of everything has been done, and now we're like in the final. I would say, you know, metaphorically speaking, we're down to the 10-yard line, going in for the score.
Your cover reminds me of a Springsteen record. They're very honest. Springsteen has always been honest with his covers. It lets you know what's coming, right? It lets you know who he is and where he is at that point in his life. Your picture says everything about what you have been through, your successes, your down in the valleys, the mountains you've climbed, the Hall of Fame, the athlete, everything. To me, I look at your face, I see it all.
You know, I it was interesting because this is about 3 or 4 years ago, and a professional photographer buddy of mine who does all commercial stuff came over, and I was having Meryl Hemingway on my podcast. She's a local resident here in Sun Valley. I know her. You know, her dad was, her grandfather was the great Ernest Hemingway.
Holy Moses.
Yeah. So, I mean, pretty famous, you know, in that. She's done 70 films and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, she had come over, and he wanted to film her. And just like warming up, he goes, hey, would you stand over there and just take some pictures? Why? Because he wanted to film all this stuff. And I just was sitting there. But to me, it just... I wanted to show kind of the intensity of what it takes to take it to a whole different level. Do you want to be an A player, a B player, a C player? Where do you want your life to be? Creating that vision board on how you want things to turn out. And to me, it's been very deliberate on what I've tried to do and where I've tried to go on.
Wow. All right, we're finally getting to the 10 steps to train your mind like an athlete. We went through create a pregame routine, strengthen your focus muscle, which I wanted to understand that better, and get comfortable being uncomfortable. I love that. When I saw that, that was intriguing to me. I loved it. You've explained those things. That's on yesterday's show. You guys can go listen back for sure on podcast. All right, number 4, learn to reset fast. Make mistakes happen in sports. You don't have time to dwell. You adjust and move forward. Adopt a next play mindset. Bad meeting, rough workout, learn from it, reset, and keep moving. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's just far too many people, and the person that might be listening to this might be going through that right now, where, you know, life happens, right? And I can't say that everything is spun and like in 24 hours, but at the end of the day, it's like, how are you going to pivot, right? When things aren't working, you got to pivot. You got to make a move, right? And you far too many people find themselves stuck in quicksand. And if you're not moving, you're going backwards, right?
Yeah.
You're either going one way or the other, but the worst thing you can do is do nothing.
What happens? How can you help your mind get there when it just doesn't want to go there? You don't want to go there and you're just tired.
Well, to me, you know, I've really lived by this thing called action creates reaction. And so there is no action that will happen if you don't take a step forward in some direction. Right now, I'll make a stupid example. You know, you don't know what you're doing and, you know, you're trying to figure it out. So you go take a job as a waiter or something because you want to be an actor, but that's not working out. So, you know, at least you know that you've gone into the service business, people are rude to you, you hate it, you go, you know what, that's not what I want to do. So scratch that, I'm not going to be a waiter, mm-hmm. I don't want restaurateurs, I don't want to open a restaurant, so I'm going to go over here and try this thing over there. And then maybe that works, maybe it doesn't, but that action will create an action positively or negatively.
All right, I'm in. All right, number 5, train your inner voice. Negative self-talk is a silent killer. Champions rewrite their mental script. Start noticing when you doubt yourself. I love that. It kind of plays into what I just asked. Then flip the script. I can handle this. I can figure things out.
Well, I think more than anything, you've been a great example of this to me, okay? And that is, you are a positive voice around me. If there's anybody, now we're talking about the external and the internal, but if there are any negative Nellies that are out there, like I had a guy when I got drafted in the NFL by the Raiders, right? Who came up face. He was a longtime buddy. And he goes, hey, I just want to be honest with you. You'll never make it. Right.
What?
Yeah. So, and I had a lot of that. Right. And whether people thought that or not, you know, it's such an impossible feat to go pull off to, you know, it's one thing to make it. It's a whole another level to stay there. And so you need to shed yourself with those things and you need to surround yourself with positive voices. And for me, you have been one of those guys that have respected me in a way that's always pouring positivity around me. And within that, I can thrive.
You know what's funny is when I grew up, I only played one position in baseball as a catcher. And I would hear all the noise from the other team's parents behind me. And it would just tick me off, right? Like I was like, and I was a little bit of a smart aleck, you know, no matter what it was, when I heard that noise, it drove me. I mean, it really drove me. And so I've just been built that way. I don't know. You know, my dad, you know, used to be upset at me. Sometimes he'd go, that was over the top, what you just did. You just need to play ball. And I said, well, Dad, I needed a little bit just to, you know, he goes, you don't need to say anything. So he was right about that. I learned to do that. But in music business, I ran into that all the time. Like so much that by the time I got there, Mark, I was fine handling it because they didn't bother me. And it was sports that got me there. I'm telling you. Now, all right, let's get to we did negative self-talk. Okay. Number six, see success before it happens. So you're visualizing, right? Before stepping onto the field, top athletes visualize their best performance. Take 60 seconds each morning, everybody out there, to picture yourself executing at a high level.
Yeah, you know, the one that comes to mind right now is you know, when I first got, I went from high school, which, you know, I dominated the state as a senior. Now I get the scholarship all over the place, but I accepted one at the University of Washington. They were on a roll at the time. So I get there and now I'm buried in the program, you know, and there was a legitimate moment when, you know, people didn't think I'd ever make it, but I kept chipping away at it. And I started getting bigger and stronger and more confident and everything else. And, you know, my opportunity to finally start was my junior year. And we were playing Michigan, and I had literally visualized over and over and over and over and over again, because I was a wide receiver, me catching a ball in the back of the end zone with no time. And it, the game all played out. You know, we're playing Michigan. We're down by 14. Jim Harbaugh was the quarterback, and we came back. We scored, you know, 7 points, and now they get the ball back. They go all the way down the field. They miss the ball. There's 2 minutes to go. We go all the way down the field. And from like the 10-yard line, the quarterback audibles, and he throws me a ball in the back of the end zone. I jump over the guy, I catch it, back of the end zone, win the game, end up cover, you know, Sports Illustrated. And, you know, like, again, I had, it wasn't, people in the stands all saw that as a moment. For me, I'd been visualizing that moment for thousands of times. I'd done it a thousand times.
Yeah, like the guy on the putting green, like the guy at the free throw line. You visualize where you're going to be, and all of a sudden you're there eventually. And what happens is I think you're prepared. Mark Pattison's my guest right now. You got to check out his podcast, Searching for?
Finding Your Summit.
Finding Your Summit. Are both of those the title of the book as well?
Yeah, so that's the Emmy Best Picture is Searching for the Summit.
That's
so the,
right. Okay.
The NFL switched that around just a little bit. It's confusing.
Yeah. Superior Catfish, nothing confusing about that. Go to stores.superiorcatfish.com. It'll come to you. Visit Mississippi.org. All celebrating the arts like no other. We'll be right back.
Highway 61.
$20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Homebuyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
Stay informed and stay connected with the SuperTalk Mississippi app. The SuperTalk app brings you the latest news and connects you to your favorite shows. Download the SuperTalk Mississippi app today and stay ahead of the curve.
The one.
The
Mark Patterson, my guest today on In a Mississippi Minute, Superior Catfish, right there with me on my plate. It's going to be on my plate later on tonight. I'm going to blacken it, and it's going to be great. Go to SuperiorCatfish.com, homegrown in Mississippi, and visit Mississippi.org. Everything. Tourists come from all over the world. They celebrate our Mississippi, and guess what? They meet you all, and they don't want to leave because we are the state of hospitality, characters, and personality. Blessings to you all for being who you are. All right, Mark Patterson is my guest today. We are doing his newsletter that I get. Mark, how can folks get your newsletter?
You can go to my website, www.markpattersonnfl.com, and there's a little box down there that says sign up for my newsletter.
Yeah, this newsletter is important. It's special. I do the Monk Guys, and I do yours, and it's awesome. Okay, let's get to number seven, which is build grit through small wins. By the way, this is part of his newsletter, guys. Toughness isn't built overnight. It's the sum of daily challenges. Push through one tough thing daily. Wake up early, finish that workout, start that hard conversation.
Yeah, you know, I knew when I was going to Everest. I was not only trying to climb Everest, but I was trying to climb the fourth highest mountain in the same, you know, same day, Lhotse, which is 27,640 feet, some insane number. And that didn't happen. I failed at that. But what I did is I trained. I climbed that mountain. We talked about that this morning, you know, going up, climbing 3,000. It's actually 3,200 feet. But I did that 45 times, which is over 150,000 vertical feet in 3 months going to Everest in 2021. And what I wanted to do is just max out my body and do it when I didn't want to do it, to build up the grit that I would need and the resilience that I knew probably would be in store. Now, I had no idea what was to come and how beat up I was from being blind and out of O's, and I hadn't eaten in 3 days. I'd been in a cyclone. And ultimately, I knew that as I was looking, kind of trying to get back down, I was sitting there by myself at 27,500 feet. My Sherpa had taken off. And I'm looking back up at Lhotse, which is right across the way. You're sitting in a saddle at the kind of the top camp there. It was just like, if I do this, I'm going to die. I mean, I may die right now, but I know for sure I'll die if I go try to take that on. So building the resilience of the grit that it took in preparing myself to ultimately take on something that was tougher than I ever knew that was going to come.
Yeah, it was going to be tougher than you thought. There was no doubt. All right, number eight, control what you can, let go of the rest. In the record business, we call this go. You got to quit earlier than you ever want to, unfortunately, because you got to know when that record has maxed itself out versus the dollars you're going to spend. So it's a mathematical game. All right, athletes don't waste energy on bad calls. They focus on what's in their control. Stuck? Ask yourself, what action can I take right now? Then do it.
Well, a lot of it too is when you start talking about anxiety, and there's a lot of people have anxiety, you freak out, like, what's going to happen? You think about in the future, or you're focused on things that happened a long time ago, right? I can't believe it happened to me. You know, that is, it's in the future or in the past, and you can't control any of that. And it's what I really try to do. And this is where, again, getting up every single morning and processing and being my sort of, you know, walking, working out yoga for my meditation is really to stay honed in on the present moment. What can I control today? And I can't control, like, oh my God, what happens if I, you know, you're, it'd be like for you right now, you got the Mississippi Delta coming up, the great event that you threw over here in June. And today you're freaking out about it because you think there might be a hurricane. And I go, hey, Steve, hold on. That's 3 months from now. So it's the weather. You can't freak out about that. So you prepare, right? It just in case, but yeah, you can't freak out about things. And so that's where I really try to stay in control and over my skis, so to speak, in terms of what can I control and focus on that.
Plus, play to win, number 10, not to avoid losing. Winners don't play it safe. They take smart risks. Love that. Yeah. Stop waiting for the perfect conditions. Take bold action before you feel ready.
It's really interesting. You mentioned this too about your music career, and it took you 15 years and looking back and all these things. And as you take a look from going back to LSU, right, when you're up there playing half, you know, 2 hours your songs, 2 hours other people's songs, whatever it was, you know, you look now where you sit, and that was the training ground for you to get up there. But you had to have your eye on the prize. Again, I was very, very much affected by this pyramid of success, and it's had a direct through line for me and all these different things I've done. It's the competitive greatness. That's the championship. That's what it is. What's the goal? I've been able to play in two Rose Bowls. I've been in playoff games. I was in the Orange Bowl. I've been able to do all these different great things. And everyone, we always have the top goal, win the Pac-10 championship. It was a Pac-10. There's not really even a Pac-10 anymore. But,
right.
You know, it's just win the championship. And that is ultimate goal for Sports Illustrated, which I run. You know, it's to get to number one. You know, when I first got here, part of SI, you know, 8 years ago, we're 17, and now we're number one. We surpass ESPN. And you got to have a vision, and then you have all the other 25 building blocks below that are going to point you to the sky on how you're actually going to get there.
So the book will be out, Finding Your Someone, will be out in June. I can't wait to get that. Mark, I love you, buddy. You're the best.
Let's get some more catfish rolling.
I'm ready. Superior Catfish. Thank you for that. You could have just done this outtake for me. Superior Catfish going to Mark Pattison's house. Go to store.superiorcatfish.com. That's how it happens. Also, superiorcatfish.com. Check it out. Homegrown and produced right here in Mississippi. It's a beautiful thing. They are beautiful folks. And visit Mississippi.org. Everybody over there, Rochelle and the team, Yvonne, I love you guys. You guys have rocked for me and for our state. Thank you for doing what you do. We are the birthplace of America's Week. Later on.
I'm Steve Azar. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them, where you can take your sweet time.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.